Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What is going on, everybody? It's Friday. Friday. Right? Is that? I don't know why I'm singing. My theater company has a hashtag thing that we do for marketing. It's called Friday Fun Day.
That is the worst hashtag. I mean, honestly, that is the worst hashtag.
Oh, wait, we didn't even introduce. Whatever, everybody. It's Friday. We made that clear. This is our discussion episode.
Welcome to American Basies. That's the name of the podcast. We should probably say that. Well, welcome to those of you who are smart enough to know we're not Indian American anymore. So many idiots still hitting us up on that.
Oh my goodness. No one's hitting us up on that, but we are very excitingly still getting downloads on that podcast, but we'd love to switch those downloads. If you guys know people that are still downloading Indian American, make sure that they're also downloading American Desis. But today is our discussion episode where we're going to talk about our interview with Aman Ali, which was a really exciting thing. But the first thing that we want to do, just is to dive in and talk about Nepal. It's really, you know, it's affected the world community, of course. I mean, it's been a horrifying tragedy what experienced. I know that I had family members that were affected because it hit the Uttar Pradesh area. So it's been fortunate to know that my family's all right, and I'm sending out all my prayers and thoughts to, you know, those family members, Nepalese people that are out here whose family's still back home, and then obviously the people of Nepal. Not a whole lot to say, truthfully, from my side, but just, you know, in whatever way you can help out, there's many, many ways to download. I know that we posted a couple ways, but, you know, any way that you think is valuable to help out, please do.
Listen, man, I'm not even going to front. Anything that happens in our region is always going to bother me more than anything else. And so this is sad, man. And I was actually talking to someone who I know who's, like, big into philanthropy, and they were saying the best thing to do is money. Even, like, going there, which you think would be so great, that's not nearly as good as money because we don't really know what we're doing. So just send money to a site that you trust, to a charity that you trust. Look it up. Look into it. Make sure it's not a sham. And if you I know everybody got their own financial situation, but if you in America, you can probably donate a dollar. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
So,
I mean,
do something.
They always say, you know, a Starbucks cup. I don't know why Starbucks became the barometer that people use, but a Starbucks coffee is like $5, you know? So I think everyone can spare a little bit. And I know that the worldwide community has really been responding, as we tend to do when natural tragedies come up. But it's the important thing is going to be 2 weeks from now. Can we donate a little money?
Yeah.
Are we still going to be thinking about this a month from now? And we'll be pressing y'all. We're going to keep talking about
it. Well, you're going to be pressing because I ain't shit, and I'm probably going to forget in 2 weeks, too. So that's the other thing. I don't want anybody to think we're coming across condescendingly. You'll never hear us say we're good people or charitable people enough. Let's just do what we can, man. Let's all try to be better.
A few websites that's off the cuff that would be great. Save the Children is always great. Redcross.org. They've made it really easy to donate. Partners in Health is always an incredible organization. I know Facebook has made it really easy to donate. I don't know anything about Facebook's donations thing, but if somebody's out there knows about it and they trust it, go ahead. Anywhere that you trust that the money isn't going to overhead, you know, where it actually is going into the community. But Akash is right. Money is actually, this is one of those times where money is just more valuable than time or, you know, your presence.
Which is great because you get to be lazy and feel like a good person. And that's all we want to do is feel like good people with as little effort as possible. And social media. That's really all social media is. So let's just donate a little money.
I love that there had to be a campaign that's been built that people say, you know, likes isn't activism or something, where they're like liking a status isn't actually doing anything.
Hey, making the status ain't actually doing anything.
That's, well, you could argue. Hey, listen, speaking of Aman Ali, you were the one who was talking about that dude gets thousands of likes on his Facebook status, right? He has some influence. So making those statuses, man, listen, I'm going to tell you straight off, and I know you want the rant at the end was really passionate, but what I really loved is he's very involved with, you know, speaking his mind about what's needed for his community, you know, which is beautiful. The way that he was talking about dating, and I was, my Muslim friends that I know, I guess, are different from that community that he speaks about. I don't know the entire Muslim community that well, of course, because, you know, there's billions of members, but even in America. And the way that he was talking, that there's still so many people that are upholding those traditional values of not dating and then getting married really early. You know, the friends of mine that are Muslim haven't done that. So it was really interesting hearing him talk about that and then talking about how these, like, holding so steadfastly to these traditions, these old school interpretations, and how they don't jive with 2015 is actually creating huge problems in their community, and specifically when it comes to relationships. So I think the fact that he is making those status, you know, he's someone in the community that people look up to, obviously. You know, his 30 mosques in 30 days was a huge thing for that community. It's cool. I love that he's doing that. I really like that dude. Gotta be honest.
This is why I liked him. This is why I wanted him on the podcast. This is why the end rant was something I brought up and something that spoke to me, was because he's doing it for his people. I think we did this podcast for our people, and it's a noble effort. Nobody seems to give a fuck, but it's a noble effort.
That's not true. We do have a lot of people.
No, I'm kidding. We'll get to that later. But the point is, he doesn't. I think there's a lot of, when I talk about struggle pimps, I think there's a lot of people who talk about Islamophobia, and they talk about Muslims being persecuted, and they talk about this and that, but just so that white people feel guilty and will move this person's career forward. He don't give a fuck about that. He will go perform in a mosque for his people, and he's not looking for Comedy Central to hand him a deal afterward. And that's what I respect. Someone who's really about what they say they're about. There's not... In my life, I try to weed out... I'm not saying I'm not a hypocrite. I am, probably in a thousand ways I don't even see. But I always hate hypocrisy and try to weed out hypocrisy in my own life. And so when I see a dude like this where I don't see hypocrisy, that's amazing to me. And that's why I had so much respect for this dude.
It's not only hypocrisy, it's integrity.
Yeah, no,
you know,
weeding
out. And here's the thing, and this is what he said that really hit me, aside from that part. What really hit me was where he talked about getting addicted to fame.
Yeah.
And he talked about going on TV. Do I really have something of value to present to this, like, this conversation? Or am I just contributing to the noise?
That was so
ill.
I will slap a homeless in his face if you let me listen to that podcast enough times.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but I'm hype, though. I'm hype.
You're like Will Ferrell, man. It's like, I don't know. It's just provocative. It gets the people going.
Exactly.
There is so much noise in the world, and it's beautiful because everyone has access. And listen, we're taking up on this, right? I mean, we have a podcast now. You know, if we just...
Nah, man, you think it's beautiful. I don't. Go ahead, though.
No, what I'm saying... Hear me out, though, because you're going to hear what I'm saying. There's beautiful that everyone has access to it, but people, now that they have access, aren't bringing responsibility to it, right? Cable news is 24 hours, and it's just noise. It's become just noise. Nobody's talking about real shit. Nobody's, like, being specific and asking the question, does this need to be said?
Well, here's the thing.
And when he said that, he was like, you know what? I'm not the person that needs to talk about this. Man, someone else should be the people. That's a level of humility and also self-awareness. And actually, I don't know the right word, but I just
I think integrity is a good word. I think it's a level of integrity I probably wouldn't have. Listen, if you ask me to go on The Daily Show or The Nightly Show or whatever and comment on some issues I don't know about, I'm going to just read what I can in the 24 hours before I film and then comment on it. Form an opinion in 24 hours. I'm not going to front. Put me on TV. I wouldn't have that integrity. He does, and that's so dope.
I'm in the process of trying to embrace the idea of I don't know. Yeah, and trying to embrace the idea that I don't know things and that I'm not And, you know, listen, and when we started this, and the reason we how we justify doing this and not being hypocritical about the fact that we have our own podcast is, for me, is that we're always coming from a truth. You know what I mean? And the truth a lot of times is I don't fucking know.
Right.
And if I can say, and that's why Akash is always hitting y'all with saying, like, listen, we're not experts. And that's why earlier he was like, listen, we're not trying to set front like we're good people. We're trying to lift ourselves up, because it's not, you know, what we want is to create a space where we can move past the noise and actually talk about the real shit. And that's what he does with his Facebook statuses. That's what he does with his storytelling. That's what he does with his, you know, his projects, his, you know, I forget what the name of it was called, but his new...
30 Mosques in 30 Days?
No, the Google thing that he's trying to do, the YouTube thing where he's, like, interviewing young Muslim people and just hearing their stories, right?
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. It's really similar to what we're doing, trying to interview a lot of people and just hear their stories. So, but that addicting to fame, that addiction to fame and just that, like, getting caught up in the noise really struck me, you know? There's so much noise.
Yeah, no, you know, what's weird is we're all addicted to fame in a different, on a different level. Even if you ain't shit, you're on Twitter.
Let me ask you something. Why do you think that we're addicted to that? What is that? Why do you think
that
is?
I mean, I was listening to it. I always listen to the sports radio station, but they talk about other things. And someone talked about, like, he did like a 20-minute segment on addiction to the internet in this article he read. And one of the things he talked about was, it's called variable intermittent feedback, which means... So some psychiatrist or whatever said, like, if you want to ingrain, I forget the exact word, but, like, ingrain a behavior in humans, then you give them a variable reward at a variable time. So, like, you check your email, you get one email one time, and it's a junk email. And then the next time you check your email, you get five of them, and then one is from an old friend you haven't talked to in 5 years. That's a variable reward at a variable time. So that's why Facebook statuses are, like, when we get on Facebook and they give us notifications, those notifications are addictive. That's why we always go on Facebook, because sometimes it's no notifications. Sometimes it's three, and it's all events you don't want to go to. And sometimes it's five, and everybody's liking your pictures, and that's what it is. And same with Twitter. That's another thing, is I want to put something out there and get a response. That's like something that we develop very early in life, that we like to put out something and get a response. So Twitter is another one. Anytime someone retweets me, I got a response from that.
Yeah, for me,
it was a biological thing.
Sure, and I get that. For me, it's like if I look at the psychological aspect of it, or like the spiritual maybe aspect of it. To me, when I'll check my email constantly. I'll see it increase when I'm looking for my email. Like, I'll check it every few minutes when I'm like, when I need something, when I need something externally, because I'm feeling an emptiness. And there can kind of become, when we become any sort of addiction, you know, working with the people that I worked with, I've been in contact with a lot of people that have been in sobriety for a long time. And one of the most interesting things I ever heard was about addiction was, it was referring to AA. If you're having a bad day, go to a meeting. If you're having a good day, go to two meetings. And that was the thing that was really interesting, because the idea is that, like, for people with addiction, it's coming from a place of real self-destruction. And so if you're in a good place, you're like, oh, I don't deserve this. This isn't where I need to be. Let me go fuck it up. And maybe subconsciously, right? So it's almost, and I'm not saying that being on
it. I heard it was because, I don't know, we're really getting off topic, but I heard a similar thing from an addict, and he said it was because when things are going well, you feel like, okay, now I can have a sip of whatever, or like a hit or whatever, because I got everything in order. I got my shit together. I can fuck with this a little bit. So yours actually sounds a lot more beautiful. If mine is right, that's a lot less cool. But
no, I think it's obviously good. Listen, everyone's going to be different. It's got to be a multitude of factors. But how it relates is this addiction to fame, because I'm still stuck on this. And it's just like how important that is. And then, like, because these people go on there, and then what we forget is that being on TV, it's a massive influence. You know, I was telling a friend about the show. I was telling a friend of mine about The Magicians, and he was like, yo, I'm so excited because when people that think about the world in a positive way get more influence, it's more important than any elected state official. And this is a dude that works in politics a lot. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that I hold up to that, but the fact that he was saying that, like, people in media have more influence.
Oh, dog. You think that
more influence?
I've talked about this with a friend, my roommate, Case Ross, another comedian. He said it really well. Like, if you want to change society, just start putting the change you want to see in movies right now. And in 20 years, kids will all grow up accepting this thing. Gay marriage was helped so much. Like, the fact that we're so much less homophobic than we were, so much less racist than we were, so much of that is movies and TV telling us racism is wrong, bigotry is wrong, homophobia is wrong. So much of that. That's how you ingrain a behavior. Politics is cool, but you really want to change a behavior, you know what I mean? You just talk to these kids.
Yeah, so but then when we come to news, and that's what he was talking about, it's just like...
News ain't shit. News, there's literally an infinite amount of news on a 24-hour news
cycle. It's crazy.
Literally infinite. So you can't have real news. I just need to get ratings. I will never trust a news station until I see a news station that has no advertisements. That's the way I feel. Because then they got nobody to please. They got no money to make. They got no spot. They don't care about ratings. That's just going to be news.
I don't even trust them, man.
All this other shit.
I don't even trust that.
I don't give a fuck about the news. I really don't.
I mean, I listen, it's becoming increasingly hard to know, like, you know, how to look at it. And especially, like...
And you know, we all just go where we want to go. When I'm on Facebook and you see the people who are like tweeting out the articles, they're never from like even like a BBC.com or whatever. It's always like if you're a liberal, it's from like the Free Thought Project.com. And if you're a conservative, it's from like the conservative ultra blog.com. And it's like, yo, you just found people who are going to suck each other's dicks getting on a website. And of course they're going to agree with you.
I hear you. When Ferguson was happening and Eric Garner was happening, I was really active on Facebook, like getting involved with talking about trying to engage people. And there was so many of my black friends were unfollowing a lot of people. And even my white friends were doing this too. And I was like, guys, we're just creating, like, no one's talking with each other to engage and move forward. And you're right. I mean, we just find little echo chambers for our thoughts.
We have embraced diversity in every type of human as long as they have the same opinion as us. Diversity in everything except diversity of opinion. That's not allowed anymore.
I mean, I got to say, it's sad to say, I tend to agree with you on this. I tend to agree that this is an issue that we're facing. And that's why...
I gotta be sad, baby. I'm always right. I'm killing it out here.
This was years ago, but Jon Stewart has that march for like civil discourse.
Right.
Or like civil or something. The point was like, stop so that we can just talk with each other. And it was like kind of tongue in cheek and everything, but I thought there was a genuine, really serious thing about this. But just going back to the media real quick, and then we're going to move on to stuff with Amon, and there was a couple more things we want to talk about, of course. But with Baltimore and with the media, right? The media started representing these Bloods and Crips like they were out there to like take out police officers. And I get that that might be the initial fear, but your job as a journalist is to find out the truth, right? And report the truth. And it took the Bloods and Crips having to put out their own video where they were like, yo, no, we're out to stop people from looting and fucking up our community. And the media then
why are you doing that as Bloods and Crips? Why can't you just do that as a regular motherfucker and a group of you? Why you gotta put on bandanas to do it?
I gotta be honest. I don't know. I mean, I'm just presuming.
Ain't none of us shit. I'm not trying to interrupt you or shit on you or whatever. But it's like we don't really know what's going on, and then you just had an opinion. And it's like I do the same thing. I'm not looking down on you. I'd like to think the main difference between me and everybody else is I'm very open about the fact that I'm an ignorant fuck.
Well, hold up a second though. What my opinion on the media being wrong about something? How is that? How's that relevant? How's that taken away by the fact that
you just said you don't really know everything that's going on. So if you don't know, like Amon was saying,
I know that.
You just did what Amon was saying. If he doesn't know, he can have an opinion on Jakarta in 20 minutes of reading, but he doesn't really know. He's not really in it.
I disagree with you. I disagree that this moment you're arguing, you're twisting a point to make it your own, right? You want this to be your point about the Bloods and the Crips being in their bandanas and stuff. I'm not answering the question. I don't have an opinion about why they have to do it. That was a second question. My initial point was, why is the media representing something incorrectly? Which they did. And I can say that this was a moment where they did their jobs badly. Where the Bloods and the Crips weren't out there to take out cops. That was the point that the media was making. The Bloods and the Crips came out and said, no, that's not what we're doing. That's all I'm talking about. And then I'm saying that that's why it makes it harder for me to trust the media at times. Because I'm like, man, you're just presenting a narrative. You're storytellers. You're storytellers. You are fiction.
It's all fiction. I mean, it's not fiction, but it's ratings. We all trying to make money. End of the day, ain't nobody different. There's no nobility in this. You know what I mean?
I mean, we ain't making no money right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying that we're noble,
well,
but I mean, I feel like there are people.
I'm so close to selling out, you guys don't even understand. When you see me in a turban and a gas station doing an accent in my next movie, don't say I didn't warn you.
One thing that he was talking about that I struggled with during our interview was the nature of community and the South Asian American community, the Desi community, the American Desi community, or whatever it ends up being called, and how, you know, it's a very diverse community. And you and I have often talked about that there's so few of us that when we look at, like, you know, we look at somebody, there's not enough of me for me to give a fuck if you are Pakistani
slightly
or Bangladeshi.
Different than me.
Right. Because we know that overall there's a region that's like very, you
and
know,
like
very
said, we got a lot of similarities within the culture in America. Brown people, his Muslim upbringing was very similar to my Hindu upbringing. And this is something you picked up on that I didn't really pick up on. It's the idea that all my Muslim friends growing up identified as Muslim first, Indian second, or Pakistani second, or South Asian second. I didn't, to me, that's just what it was. You called that out, and it was like, how can we form a South Asian community if your community, first and foremost, is the Muslim community? Which is a great question, and I don't know, honestly, that we got an answer to it. I don't think he had thought about it. I think he tried to reconcile it during the interview, but I don't know that we have an answer at all.
He reconciled it with his language, but I have to be honest, I don't know that his actions really supported that. I mean, everything that he does is still to a Muslim thing first.
He ain't interviewing no Hindus about in this YouTube documentary, which is fine.
Right.
I'm not mad at it.
And I'm not mad at him at all, but it's like, well, then let's acknowledge that that's, you know what I mean? That documentary that he's doing is not just Desis.
Right.
It's specifically Muslims.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, listen, one thing that we talked about in, you know, the live podcast that we're going to drop in a few weeks is that, you know, communities, there are different, we belong to different communities, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm a really big Bucks fan. So I go on the blogs a lot about the Bucks. But, and so technically
Tampa Bay
I'm a
Buccaneers,
part of,
guys.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. It's a football team.
It's also a basketball team. Called the Bucks.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
So I'm a part of that community, but I mean, they're not really anyone I would talk to in life. I mean, there's just like something I'm a part of. You know, when I go to the stadium, when I go to Tampa, like when I go to Raymond James Stadium where they play their games, I'm always like, what the fuck is everyone? Why is everyone? This is crazy. These are not my people.
Right.
But I'm a part of that community, right? So I guess the question is, I guess maybe I'm wondering if it's maybe my ego. I'm wondering if it's, that's what I'm getting at. I wonder if it's maybe my ego that's like, yo, why isn't your Desi-ness like me? Like, why are we being relegated to second standing in your heart?
Yeah, no, because I mean, the question is, can both exist? Does one need to be first and foremost over the other?
I don't
why
know
we
the
still
answer.
Maybe we don't. But it was an interesting thing that I hadn't really thought about. And I'm glad you pressed him on it, because I was just kind of like, yeah, sure, that's what it is. Because I just grew up with that. I mean, my friends that were Muslim were so Muslim, like, first. You know what I mean? It wasn't about, if they
because
put it this way, if they had a choice of going to a Muslim event on a Friday night and a South Asian event on a Friday night, Muslim event. It wasn't even a question, which is fine. And so I just grew up with that, and that's what it was, and it was cool. But yeah, I never really thought about, like, if we're trying to form a community, is that a problem?
But I don't think that he said that he wasn't. I mean, he does feel like he's a part of this community.
Sure,
you know
he and I
mean?
Connected immediately because we're both South Asian.
Right.
You know?
And also then on top of it, you know, you also have the community as you guys were comics as well.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, there becomes different levels of stuff. But it was interesting that, you know, it is a thing it is a thing that kind of feels It just hurts a little. I think it hurts a little me. I think it honestly just hurts me a little when, like, my Muslim friends are like, no, we're tighter with them. It's like it's a level of inclusion, exclusion that just hurts a little. It's like, yo, we're the same. We're like so similar in our experiences as immigrants over here. You know what I mean?
But and, we're not though, man. They're so much more religious than the average Hindu. The average Muslim in America is way more religious than the average Hindu in America. We're very laid back. We're very relaxed. Listen, most of my Muslim friends growing up, I got along better with them morally because I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chase girls. My Hindu friends didn't give a fuck about any of it.
It's interesting.
So it's like, I mean, yeah, this is a thing that is very important to them. Religion to Hindus, in a way that's kind of sad, is just like a thing that almost gets in the way. You know what I mean?
I don't know about that. I think
we'll say we're Hindu, but the second Hinduism inconveniences us, we can put it aside. And well, I'm not saying I'm that much better, if at
all.
But
I'm just saying I would argue that Hinduism is much less of a like structured religion.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, so I think that it makes it. I mean, we're diving into. I hear what you're saying. Your point is actually really interesting because. But do you hear what that's? I think that that's where it was coming from for me because I was like, this hurts a little, man. Like, yo, I'm treating you like my brother, and it feels like you're treating me like my brother only slightly, you know, a slightly less. Man, maybe that's just my own shit.
Yeah, like you like a girl more than she likes you.
Yeah, it feels a little like that, man. It feels a little like that. It really does. We still on that, man. That girl.
Oh, no, we're not at all. Jesus Christ, man. Move on for fuck's sake. I like my business out there like that.
Lack of exposure. Oh, yes. This is what we talked about, exposure, which was the other thing that I really liked. It's just what he's doing and what we're trying to do is just like how we move forward. It's just exposure, you know, and that tends to be the common like thread through, you know, when people talk about what they want to do with their kids and just like how cultural preservation is possible with exposure. So I think it's dope. I think it's dope what he's doing. And I really enjoyed talking with him. I really did.
I did, too. Shouts to Aman Ali. I think anything else you want to talk about? Or you want to go to community?
No, I think I want to jump over to the community. Let's jump over to the website, man. We got our website, our slick little website, and
little bit of
business has been popping. We have a little in our forum section. Now we fixed that. We do want to, and we apologize for the delay on that. We're still some kinks and we worked out, but there is now a place for you to register and create a login. We know we've had some community members doing that over the last few days, but it's in the forum section of the website, www.AmericanDaceyspodcast.com. And then click on the form. There's a little section that says introduce yourself. I just want to shout out to Sarah Myers for being the first one in the group to throw out.
I mean, honestly, South Asians, we cannot keep letting this white girl out care about us. I mean, I got a lot of love for Sarah Myers, but I'm so disappointed in us that she cares so much more about us than us.
Well, I just want to say this. She's so sweet. Sarah Myers is so
amazing.
Sweet. I enjoy the podcast very much. Looking forward to meeting some new people along the way. I work in human services field and have a beautiful 15-month-old baby boy named Xander.
Yeah, and people, she's not even. Most of the time, people do this. Like, I'm like, all right, you got like a weird Indian fetish. Like, you want to marry an Indian dude? She married to a white.
She got
dude,
a kid.
White kid. She's just a beautiful person, and we ain't shit.
And she just. But I'm trying to say this, guys. Who doesn't want to meet Sarah Myers? Yeah, holla at her on this forum section. I do also want to shout her out for this, and I got to call myself out, man. In the current issues, what's happening in the world today? She's looking for an update about Suresh Bhai Patel. She said that she's been following it since the news broke about a month ago. I think it's about a month and a half ago. And she's looking for an update on Suresh Bhai Patel. She said the most current update she could find was about 24 days ago on his GoFundMe page. It said that he was taking a few steps with his walker, which is beautiful.
I don't have any information. I haven't kept up. Yo, Patrice O'Neill, my favorite comic ever, has a great thing. We're talking about the news, so I'm bringing this back up. He has a great bit about the news. And essentially the idea is the news, it tells us when to give a fuck and then when to stop giving a fuck. So once they stop covering Mr. Patel, Suresh Bhai Patel, we are all just like, all right, well, we're done with that. Let's give a fuck about whatever else is in the news now. Oof. And that's what we did. We are sheep, all of us. Much as we shit on the news, we all just sheep. I stopped caring about Suresh Bhai Patel 2 weeks after it happened because the news didn't tell me to care anymore.
Well, or you could just say that there's so many other things to care about in the world, man. There's so many things happening in the world.
I was saying this yesterday. They're trying to make me care about black rhinos. And I was like, man, I don't have it in me, man. There's too much other shit you guys are asking me to care about. There's black people in Baltimore I'm supposed to care. Like, I mean, how much fucking empathy does a guy have?
I mean, many people would argue that an infinite supply, but
nope.
It is.
I would argue against those people, and I would tell them to take a look in my soul.
Well, Sarah Myers, I do appreciate that you're looking out and wanting an update for him. Community members, if anybody has one, please reach out to us. We're going to keep looking into this a little bit, or I guess I will. Akash won't. But I will look out and try to get some news back to you. But it is a little interesting that it's a white girl who's interested in asking for updates about a member of the community. I'm not saying that there aren't people in the community that are following this and maybe in Alabama, but, you know, we don't have the best track record when it comes to caring about our community. So I think that's one thing that I would love to shift. And it's got to start with me, so I can only start with that. We got started by Fandoms Hate Black People, which I got to be honest, I don't really totally understand the handle.
I love it. I don't get it, but I love it.
I mean, I just don't really. Forgive my ignorance. I just don't know what fandoms mean. Like people that are like the group of people that are fans. I don't know. But he wrote, and I'm assuming it's a he. Maybe that was a wrong assumption.
He says he's a gay black dude in the message.
Oh, right. Yes, he does. I know you guys kind of mentioned Mindy Kaling in the first episode of American Daisies. I don't know if you guys talked about her in depth on the previous podcast. I did like Mindy's show during the first season. However, as a black gay man, I was disgusted with the amount of average white guys being cast as oatmeal flavors of the week. I think the final straw was James Franco. I really hate him and his queer baiting. Then a few weeks later, after I don't know what it means either. After I quit watching, I heard Mindy Kaling casted a black woman in the cast. A few moments later, I heard said black woman was reduced to stereotypes and neck rolling. Sigh. I actually know her, Zosia Rockmore, and I love her. So I don't know. I don't know if she would agree that that's what she's been reduced to. But maybe I'll reach out to her. I'll ask her and find out. I do remember a clubbing episode with a bunch of black guest stars, but that's it. Guest stars at a club. I'm moving through this, and then which brings me to the next point. Her brother, we actually haven't talked about this. If you didn't hear about it, Mindy's brother Vijay pretended to be black, and he didn't get into med school after applying with an abysmal GPA. He then shaved his head and changed his name to JoJo, and now he's writing a book about it. I've seen this story multiple times. I don't know if Mindy spoke against his action publicly. And his question is, what does it say to you when someone close to you, a stranger or not, is blatantly anti-black? If he's not anti-black, he's got no problem profiting off the black struggle with this awful book. There's a lot in this. There's a lot in this message. First of all, I think that your issue with her being like not having enough diversity or not treating black folk on her TV show is very similar to the way that we feel about her not treating Indian folk on that on her show in a proper way, which, you know, my sister watches the show and she says that she has shifted with that. And my sister at first, when she first started, was quite angry about that. So I know that she's shifting in some ways towards that. But I think that you're struggling with an issue with when it comes to the guest stars and stuff that is just about, you know, media and whiteness in media. I mean, I don't really have a strong...
Let me also say this. Maybe I just always play devil's advocate, but there's a certain degree of, like, having to... I mean, this country is majority white. Black people, what, 9%? I mean, if you look at the percentage, it's way lower than you think. Their media influence may be way higher, but, you know, you gotta kind of represent... So if you already got a show with an Indian female lead, and then we're trying to make her represent Indians, which I think she should because she's from an Indian family in the show. You know, it's just like every other minority is kind of, they're not going to have as much room for you. How she portrays the black people, I don't know. I can't really speak to that because I don't watch the show. But I don't know. I think that's a little different.
I can't speak to it either. I guess so that we can't really answer the premise about her answering her being anti-black. I would caution you to assume that she is anti-black based on that, or I would need to watch the show to corroborate that. But I do want to talk about Vijay in this whole fucking thing. I mean, listen, I don't even fucking know where to start about this whole thing. It just seems so absurd and so ludicrous.
I'm the only person that thought it was hilarious. Just me alone thinking that was the funniest fucking thing ever. And he got into med school. So, I mean, like, is it about him or is it about the med school that let him in? Didn't do any fucking background work. And, I mean, if you want to call
it... I think that's a good
There's
point.
Also kind of an issue. He in the email, he says he couldn't get into med school with his abysmal GPA, but then he got in as a black dude. So... We can say what we want to about systemic racism, and I'm not speaking to any of that. I'm not. But I'm just saying, no matter what race you are, I don't want you in my med school if you have a, quote, abysmal GPA, end quote. I just don't want you to be my doctor. So maybe that's a larger problem we should talk about. You shouldn't let anybody in with an abysmal GPA.
black, white, Asian, anything.
I'm fine. I understand the need for affirmative action. Personally, I think it should be more socioeconomically based and racially, but I'm not going to make a huge fuss about it because I don't give enough of a fuck. So if you want to argue with me, go ahead. You win. But abysmal GPAs should not get into med school regardless of race. That's my number one problem. I don't give a fuck what you look like.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. I would need to read more about this book or read what he's trying to say. I do think, you know, profiting off the black struggle with this awful book. I don't really know how to respond to that, fandoms. I'm not going to lie. I really don't. I'll have to think about it. I maybe should have done that before the show, but I didn't.
Right, fair enough. Here's a message we got from another black dude named Steve. Hey, I didn't get into the first one, but I'm downloading all the episodes from it. But I love the format of American Daisies. Someone I follow on Twitter retweeted a link to the show. Shouts to whoever did that, by the way.
I think I think this might be Steve.
I checked out for the For Us, By Us episode. Is it really? And enjoy it. I'm black, so I'll stay in my lane and not say I understand everything about South Asian culture, but I can especially relate to the name thing.
Oh, no, this is different.
Yeah,
I know
you
what you're
seem
about.
So racist that you think there's only one black person commenting on our website. I mean, it's unbelievable how fucking racist you seem right now, which is hilarious because you're supposed to be the open-minded one, but you, ignorant fuck. Okay.
That wasn't what happened.
Yeah,
that wasn't
right,
what
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, whatever, dog. No, Steve. He sounds like a gay
black guy.
Sure.
I thought you were on Twitter now.
No, I'm on email, man. Come on. Okay. I checked out the For Us By Us episode, and I really enjoyed it. I'm black, so I'll stay in my lane and not say I understand everything about South Asian culture, but I can especially relate to the name thing. Like, white people can learn to pronounce Galifianakis and McConaughey, but will purposely butcher a person of color's name for the sake of some unfunny racist joke. I just want to say I love the show, and I'm looking forward to listening to the older show. He also said that he didn't know if he wanted to comment. He said, I know a lot of conscious people who really enjoy the show, but he doesn't want to comment because he's black. I don't know. Yeah, that's. I appreciate, first of all, the self-awareness to say I don't want to comment on other people's issues, but feel free to. I mean, I'm not black, but if my black friends are having a conversation, I'll jump right in there and not give a fuck. But I also think that's great. If we can get every community more, any other community more conscious within that community and more aware of building that community, I think that's beautiful. I have no problem with every community building themselves up. Unity's great, but if we love ourselves first, I think that's the ideal form of unity.
You and I still don't know that I completely agree with when you say that stuff, but I will say this about that. We often talk about that the experiences we face are quite universal. Shame, assimilation, pride, how do we integrate into a society? All of that stuff is very universal, and that's why we approach it from a standpoint of we want to talk to other immigrants and for other communities. But we also understand that, like, we're telling the universal story of humanity in a lot of ways. Akash and I think that, well, I truly believe that it's through the specific that we see the universal, which is why part of the reason that we keep it, not only because we're passionate about this community and why we do this, but we, you know, we are specifically through us. That's where we feel like we can best open up and, like, look at that experience, the human experience. So in that realm, we love hearing people. If someone says, like, from that community, I love that he was like, yo, I can relate to this. Great. Tell us why. Tell us who, like, where. You definitely have a place in this community.
Hey, man, I love people loving themselves. I have no problem with any type of supremacy as long as you don't think other people are inferior.
I know.
Listen, a white supremacist can look me in the face and tell me he thinks white people are the best in the world. And I say, you should. Sure, as long as you think I'm useful as a person, you should.
You understand, though. You say that, and it's I understand the sentiment that you're trying to make, but your language is very confusing when you say that, because best, the language of best implies that there's someone beneath.
Here's the thing.
You can't have... Hold up a second. Let me finish.
No,
I got to finish this.
You've made this point before, and I'm going to answer it. Because you've made this in life. I think I have the best mom in the world. I think my mom is the best. It's not even a question to me. Do I think your mom ain't shit? No. She's an amazing person. We've had great conversations. You should think your mom is the best, and my mom is great. And if you don't think your mom is the best, I've talked to her. I think you're an awful son.
Your mom is the best for you.
Right.
My mom is the best for me.
Right.
Unequivocally saying that she is the best, period, is different language. And I'm just letting you know, I'm trying to help you out with your language, because other people aren't going to hear this point that you're trying to make if you keep using language like this, because people are going to hear she's the best, period, and think, well, then every other mom ain't shit.
I don't think that when someone says I got the best mom in the world, I don't think this guy hates my mom.
How dare
sure, but
he?
When you talk about moms are different. There's an understanding. There's a contextual understanding with moms that people get because you're emotional and you're not really thinking logically because it's your mom and there's love and everyone agrees with that. When you're talking about your people and you say, "Yo, white people are the best,"
I don't.
It implies
say
that.
Shit.
No, I'm saying
put
when
that
you were
on me, bro.
No, when you were in the hypothetical, you praise the white supremacist, right?
Right.
Right. And it's interesting that you use the term white supremacist because white supremacists have also are the people that went around and like burnt crosses.
I use them very specifically because if I know a white supremacist who ain't a Klan member, it's just like, nah, man, white people are the best. Then sure, go ahead, get that.
But white supremacists, that culture very much believes that other races and other communities are below and are there for
the Ku Klux Klan has believed that.
White supremacists, the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, there's a lot. They're the ones that find people. There are a lot of like skinhead and white supremacist organizations that aren't just the KKK. And you'd be remiss to believe that the KKK has the singularity of white supremacy.
I don't know what that means. You really lost me with that sentence.
You'd be crazy to think that there aren't other organizations that are white supremacists that believe the same thing that the KKK does.
Sure, but if I find a white guy who's like, listen, I have white friends who are like, listen, that's cool. You guys, you Indians are doing really well. White people are still better. We're still friends. I don't think he thinks I'm less of a person.
I understand, but
I don't know how we can't create a space for this. Like, it's just crazy. You should think you're the best. If we get in a fight, I think I'm going to beat up whoever I'm fighting. Otherwise, I lost. We got to have some room for fucking confidence here. We can't just act like everybody thinks everybody's the exact same.
Hold up a second. I'm not saying that, dog. And I think that you know that because I'm just saying your language, when you say I'm the best, implies that people are there below you. Now, if you're getting into a fight situation, first of all, why?
Sure. They are slightly below me.
Okay, see, there you go. And that's where I have an issue.
We're the best.
That's not confidence, dog. That's arrogance.
There's someone that's a little bit not as good.
That's arrogance. That's not confidence. It's arrogance.
You're mincing a lot of words, and you know this about me. I don't give a fuck about micro sense of anything. So, like,
I'm just
gonna
say,
a very macro person. We're the best, and everyone should think that. Every race should think that about themselves, and then we're all fine.
I don't think that that's. I disagree. We're gonna move past this and come back to it many, many times, but I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I don't know if it's an organization or if they call itself a movement on their website, but it's in India. That's where it's centered, and it's all about women empowerment. And I think anything that helps deal with the issues of women's rights in India and like that helps address the sexual assault and like abuse issues that are going on there is a beautiful thing. I don't know, I'm not on the ground in India. So it would be kind of crazy for me to comment too much about it. I watched the video. If anyone wants to that or is interested, they definitely can check it out. I think that our women should believe that they're strong and powerful and I don't want anyone to ever believe that as a woman they're somehow below. It's a beautiful thing, and I encourage everyone to go check it out and see how they feel about it. Other than that, you know, there's just a few people that were talking about how they wanted to respond or they were thinking about ways to blog or write on the forum. And, hey, man, take y'all's time. But definitely we encourage you to come up and write some shit. We definitely do. It's
hey, man, just do it.
It's the space.
Just do it. Even if it ain't good, you did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you think you failed, at least you did it. And then failing is how you get better. So if you're nervous about what other people would think or whatever, who cares? Just write it. We get on this podcast and talk out of our asses for 45 minutes twice a week.
That was Twitter. Was there anything on Facebook that we had gotten?
We got a message on the Indian American, the old fan page. I started listening to this podcast a few days ago. Thought it was awesome to find out there were other people like me. I'm glad I can look up to people like y'all who are kicking ass in whatever they do without forgetting where they came from. Can't thank y'all enough for putting this together. And then here we go. This is the part that mattered. My bad. Also, have y'all heard of the Beyond Bollywood exhibit at the Smithsonian? They're doing similar work. We have heard about this exhibit. We would love to be put in touch with these people and contribute in some way. So if anybody knows anybody about what's going on, I think Arjun is going to award what I'm trying to ask for way better. But if anybody knows anything about what's going on with the Beyond Bollywood exhibit at the Smithsonian, holler at us. Put us in touch with these people.
Well, actually, we know a couple of people that are involved. I mean, Malik Pancholi was involved, who's a friend of mine, who we're hoping to have on the podcast as soon as we're both in the same town. Yes, he is. He's a working actor. You might know him from 30 Rock. And actually, Simanti's daughter, Swati Khurana. Simanti did an interview for us. I think that was an Indian American, correct?
Yeah.
She Swati Khurana has some artwork there. So next time when we're in New York, we're going to try to talk with her as well and get some information. But yeah, it's a beautiful exhibit in the Smithsonian. My sister's been to. I haven't been in D.C. enough to go check it out, but I encourage those people that are near the Smithsonian to go check it out for sure. There's something about YouTube that we'd gotten, right?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, this is a great point. Let me find... Here we go. This is from Manpreet Singh. He said, can you guys discuss the rise of YouTube personalities such as Just Ran and Superwoman and the impact they have had on the Desi youth? I feel like they shifted the paradigm of the culture. Desi kids are seeing their culture as something cool and to be proud of rather than to be ashamed. That's a great point. I get a little bit jealous of these YouTube guys because they do so well, and I feel like stand-up is harder, so I have a real petty thing, but these guys are great. I got a lot of love for Just Ran and Superwoman. I think what they do is great, what's important, and I agree.
I gotta be honest, I have no idea who these people are. You've talked to me about Superwoman, and I've never listened to her music. She's huge.
Huge. Okay. She's so much more famous than us, it's astounding.
I mean, that wasn't even a question. I mean, I'm very aware of how little fame we have, but I'm not tapped into the YouTube culture at all, so I just didn't know about it. Are her videos like bigging up our culture? Is that a thing?
She does videos like for Punjabi people, like Punjabi moms say this, 25 things Punjabi moms say, whatever. And then she presents herself as a cool ass girl. She's swagged out, which is crazy because she's a Canadian, and Canadians are inherently so uncool that it's, I don't know, it's just like, it's an empowering thing. Just Ran, they do videos for their people. And yeah, there's no like shame in it. And like, Indians are the worst at this. I mean, I guess there's some, but it's also like, it's for us by us type of thing in a lot of ways.
Word. Oh, cool. I'm gonna check it out. I
haven't watched enough of her videos, but the ones I've seen, that's what I've been.
And who's Just Ran?
That's a dude, Punjabi dude. Okay. I don't know his full name. I always forget. It's Just Ran is his name. And he does funny videos too on YouTube. I think also Canadian.
Now, let me ask you this question. Are a lot of their videos like hip-hop videos?
She just came out with a rap song, actually, and I haven't heard the whole thing, but with this other guy named Humble the Poet, another Punjabi guy.
Oh, I like that dude.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for me personally, it's just a little bit too emo for me, but I have a dope-ass sweatshirt that is from him. It's called this one that says Sia Sing, Saluda Sing. He's the guy that, I don't know if I think he made it, and he wore it in a video, and then someone sent me the link, and that's where I got it from.
I mean, if that's the case, that's a beautiful thing. I would be interested to know how much of the South Asian identity has like taken on aspects of the black identity. I'd be curious about that.
Because we the minorities, like we get treated like minorities, and for the longest, no one knew how to treat us. So like, it was just a lot of white people being racist toward us. A lot of us probably grew up in white areas. So for me, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I must be this other thing.
Right. Well, cool. I mean, that sounds amazing. I hope that. And that is, you know, going back to the internet and like how it's given access, you know, that is a positive thing that we can take away is that they, you know, these people are coming up and if they are as popular as you guys, I'm hearing, then they will have that shift that will help in that shift that we were talking about, the influence of media, because, you know, YouTube is part of the media scape at this moment.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well,
we've taken up enough of their time, I think.
I think we kind of knocked out a bunch of stuff this week. We're going to post another interview on Monday, so definitely look out for that. I'm going to ask you all this. We really need a favor of y'all. Could y'all, if you know, a lot of people have shown us love on Twitter. If you could just write some of that stuff on our iTunes page, that would be really helpful for us. You know, rate us, you know, whether you think it's 1 star or 5 stars. You know, we're not saying that you got to give us 5. Please, you know, choose whatever you want. But if you like a review that's like a sentence long, we got a couple reviews up. I really appreciate those people have done. But we're getting a lot of love on Twitter and we really appreciate that. And if we could get a little bit on that iTunes thing, that would just really help us out as we kind of keep trying to reach a larger audience.
Rate it, review it, subscribe, download. Those 4 things.
Let's do that. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
All right.
Step in into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals, and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com.